Hi, I'm Georgia Galanoudis, President of New York Women in Communications, New York Wiki. Welcome to our Women Heard Changemakers podcast. This is where I have the privilege of talking to female changemakers and inviting them to share their stories of resilience while navigating change. In this episode, I am chatting with 2023 Matrix Award honoree, Donna Special. Donna is president of US advertising, sales, and marketing for Televisa Univision, the world's largest Spanish language media company. Well, Donna and I have a mutual passion for the US Hispanic market and the power it has to move markets and influence culture. I worked starting in the late 90s for almost about 15 years developing custom content and sampling programs targeting US Hispanics, working with clients such as P&G, J&J, State Farm at the time. And it all seemed incredibly natural to me. But now that I look back, maybe we were early adopters at doing this back in the late 90s. So anyway, we share that passion, and that's why I'm incredibly excited to talk to you today, Donna. Thank you for joining me.
Georgia, thanks for having me. I'm very excited. I love talking about this topic.
I remember what it was like back in the 2000s and when I was advocating for the spending power and the potential of the US Hispanic market and how difficult it was. In fact, I have this very distinct memory of, I was working within a large publishing firm and creating custom programs at the time. And there was a publisher there who will remain nameless, who kind of scoffed and laughed at me and really made me feel foolish at the time. But I doubled down and remained firm that this was an audience that was not only important then, but I knew would only become even more important. So, maybe that was a little bit ahead of its time. I don't know. But how is it now, Donna? Has it gotten better? What are the challenges you face today?
That? Well, kudos to you to have the foresight to see what was coming, because you are right. The Hispanic audience is definitely a huge growth driver of the economy. You know, now being close to 20% of the population. You know, with the recent census, Georgia, you probably didn't have those figures, you know, when you were, you know, pushing, you know, for this. But so the good news, yeah, I mean, the growth is definitely there. Brands are recognizing and celebrating the power of Hispanics. So, but I will still say that there's still a long way to go. You know, we have, you know, Televisa Univision has obviously a huge share of the marketplace. We have been focusing in the evolution of our company to be that resource for marketers, for it to be more like the one-stop shop, because there are a lot of marketers, and I'm sure you, you know, felt it, that, you know, had a lot of barriers. There was always something, you know, I don't have creative. I only do it in English language. I don't need that audience. I don't see it. They're not my target. So we've been working really hard over the past 3 years in basically, you know, breaking every barrier that a marketer could have, and, you know, building capabilities, to be honest, of areas that we didn't have. You know, we did not have any audience targeting, and obviously we now know segmentation and audience targeting is very important. So we now have those capabilities. We now have, you know, social capabilities, which we did not have. And we have influencers that they can now be connected to. We have a branded content studio. So we've built everything over the past 3 years, and basically, you know, wiping the slate to basically say, now everything, there are no reasons that you should not be leaning in. Good news is we've been making huge strides. We've brought in close to 200 clients and brands over the past 2.5 years. So I'm really proud of that. But there's just still so much more to do. Which is what makes this exciting, you know. I mean, I love the challenge. I really do. I would say the key is having marketers recognize that in order to reach and engage our audience, they really need to invest in culture and in language. And that's the distinction, in culture, in language. You know, they're definitely Hispanics that, you know, they believe that they reach an English language, but it's not the same. In culture and language really is, you know, the messaging to them in their language and in their culture means a lot. The loyalty for brands, and we see it. We have multiple, numerous case studies that when a brand does lean in for the first time, that they basically have it for life, and the growth trajectory and the ROI of their business just takes off. And then they're there. So, so it's exciting. So it's really, really exciting.
I love
it.
That.
I love it. I love it. You know, I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but, every client's on their own journey. And so we go one client at a time, one by one, and each category has its own nuances as well.
Brilliant. I love that. I think that's so smart, because it's not just understanding the culture and meeting the audience where it's at. Right? Your clients are your audience as well. And understanding where they are, meeting them where they're at, and breaking down those barriers, like you suggested, you know, is it about a nuanced niche of the target? Is it about having really strong creative strategy and messaging? Is it about surrounding them, using social and the power of influencers that's really only become even more powerful today than it was even 10 years ago?
And I'll be honest, it's really an education. You know, I look at ourselves, you know, I worked in other, you know, another media company prior to this at Warner Media and stuff. And we're a different media company. Like, we literally go out and educate with clients, talk to clients, agency side and or, you know, marketing side, and we educate. And we're talking about the Hispanic consumer, the Hispanic audience, which most media companies don't do that. You know, they basically go and they talk about their content. And yes, we do talk about our content, and we have sports and entertainment and news. And, you know, we have, you know, all of that. But this is really about educating them about the power of the Hispanics and the growth potential and opportunity. And we actually get to see how we can help drive their business. And that's really rewarding. And so it's been great. And I love it. So didn't think I would be here. I mean, that's not where I thought I would be in my career, but it's been amazing. Absolutely amazing.
You know, doing not only a little research for the podcast, but certainly in consideration of you for your Matrix Award that you're so deserving of, was thinking a little bit about your career journey. And, you know, you seem to be somebody that just always finds the win-win, like that you're at the forefront of the ad business. But what I mean by that, and you've even reflected on it just now, you're somebody who does a really good job of figuring out what the core audiences need and then matching that with where the money is. And that win-win is incredibly powerful. Does what I just said kind of ring true to you? Has that been a sort of a common thread for you?
It does. You know, I actually really love my background, because, you know, I started on the agency side, and I was agency side for over, I have to say, 25 years, even though I'm 20, so I'm not sure how that happened, but agency side for a while, and then came over to the sales side. So I actually come from it with both perspectives. And even when I was on the agency side, you're spot on that it was always a win-win. I mean, obviously I always want to negotiate and get the, you know, the best cost and price for my clients, but I also knew that, you know, both sides have businesses to run. So I do take it, you know, and I look at it from there, but having that background with the agency, you know, for me makes me a better salesperson. You know, I understand, you know, their objectives and their strategies and some of the things and nuances that they go through, you know, with a client side, because I dealt with clients that way as well. And I also know when I was on the agency side, what I like from a salesperson. So, you know, I did a lot of that, you know, learning and teaching when I came here for the first time with sales organizations, and, you know, about a little bit more listening. A lot of salespeople go in and like to talk about themselves and, you know, talk about it. But if you actually listen and let a client actually speak, you actually get a lot of information out of them. So, so I've loved my journey, you know, I have. And, you know, the one thing that I will say is I am a future forward thinker. So no matter what side I was on, I was always looking, you know, 3 or 4 years ahead to kind of see where we were going. And that gave me a lot of insight in how to formulate and, you know, bring my teams into the right areas. I like to break the status quo. Like, I don't like to look at what's happening and just kind of play in that same space. I like to see, you know, how we can shake it up a little bit and kind of be the leader in some certain spaces. But sometimes you also don't always want to lead. You sometimes want to watch what's going on, you know, especially in some of these areas with AI and some of those areas, you know, you kind of want to tiptoe in certain spaces. But, you know, listen, I saw when I got here, you know, one of the things I did when I was at WarnerMedia, and I also saw it here, is, you know, the some of the work that needed to be done in the measurement space. You know, I was one of the founders with OpenAP when everybody was trying to lead into targeting in the linear space. You know, I helped create that. I was one of the original founders with Viacom and NBCU and Fox. And when I came here, the first things that we started looking at, again, obviously was measurement. But in that case, it was really incredible what we found, that the underserved of this population in the third party data sets actually existed. So that was probably one of the reasons, Georgia, that maybe you were having such problems way back when, because a lot of clients that are trying to come in and test the Hispanic audience and were using third party data sets, they were not being representative of how much they served. I mean, it was 20% of the population, and some of these data sets today were only 5 or 6%. So no matter how much testing you were going to do, you were never going to get the results that it deserved. And so it wasn't helping the matters. So we took it upon ourselves and said, okay, we got to help try to, you know, help fix this problem. So, and that's why we ended up creating our own, you know, Hispanic household graph. So, you know, we didn't you know, again, didn't know until I got here, you know, how much data, first party data we had, and now even have more of it with the, you know, creation of VIX, our own streaming service. So we now have access to all that first party data that we work with clients on. Clients can tap into it. It's not a closed, it's not a walled garden. We want to lift all boats. We want to, you know, push it out. And it's been really amazing. So to your point, I like to dig in. I like to break a few eggs. I like to see, you know, how we can zig and zag and where the future is going. But I love to leave my team that way, and so far, yeah, it's been pretty pretty powerful.
That's impressive, and I love a couple of things you said. The forward-leaning nature of how you just sort of approach everything that you're doing. Your ability to listen, and the fact that you cherish that, because whenever I've been in a sales role, that's really been the heart and soul of all of my success, and the importance of the data. You're absolutely right. Back in the day when I was doing it, you had to rely on just a very brave advocate, because they didn't have all of that support around them. And when I think about the things that you've just said there, and comfort level with breaking some eggs and pushing forward, which is a good leader and a change maker and a Matrix Award winner. These are the characteristics that are so what we look for. It doesn't always come easy. And sometimes you're really having to push up against some resistance as you're trying to navigate some change and take yourself or your team or your clients or the organization as a whole through some transformation to get them to the future. Can you talk to us a little bit? Maybe you have a story to tell about pushing through a little bit of transition, how you manage that, how you keep yourself sane, how you do that in a way that gets you to the other side with your humanity intact, or at least sort of mostly.
You know, one thing I've always done is I've always stayed true to myself. And I want, you know, my team to stay true to their North Star. You know, we set a vision, I set a vision, the company sets a vision, and you need to keep your eye on that vision. And sometimes things could happen along the way that can kind of take your eye off the ball. And I think that if you, you know, as a leader, can really just stick to what your mission is and what your goals are, you let all the noise, some of the other noise, just kind of let pass by. And it's challenging because our business is ever changing. You know, that's what's so exciting about it, is that it's never the same. You never know what's going to come about on a day-to-day basis, which, you know, which was why I think we all love this business. But you also have to just stay really, really focused at your mission and vision at hand. And sometimes you have to zig and zag. You know, I think I like to do that even with your growth of your career. I don't believe that you should keep a very myopic view of where you should go because of all the change that is actually happening in our business. And I, you know, I tell my teams this all the time, and, you know, I mentor a lot of people, and I truly believe you have to keep yourself very open to what's around you and the things that are happening, because, you know, you might want to zig and zag a little bit in your career and maybe not necessarily always just make a linear progression, because you may learn from something else that may take you there a little further. You might just do a little detour. So I've always believed knowledge is power. And the more knowledge and the more you can learn along the way, I mean, listen, I am learning so much right now in my career, and I never in my wildest dreams would think that at this point in my career, I'd still be learning. But I didn't. I mean, I'll be honest, I did not know what I know today about the Hispanic audience. And, you know, really, you know, I wasn't, you know, as focused on it, you know, as I am today. So I love it. You know, I'm still learning this further out in my career, and I want my team each and every day to keep learning, because knowledge is power, and they can be the best that they can be by just absorbing all that.
Curiosity, right? Such an important attribute to encourage teams to have all the time and be thinking about the world around them. It sounds to me like, Donna, you've gotten quite good at also being able to say no to people along the way if it doesn't quite fit. Yeah. The Uber vision, is that something you were always good at? Because I know some people struggle with that. Did you learn that along the way, or have you always been quite determined in that way?
I would say I've always been strong with my convictions. I've gotten better at it along the way. I would say as a woman, was probably more challenging early on in my career. You obviously are, this business used to be much more male dominant. And I was one of the very few women at senior levels. That has definitely leveled out. You know, proud to say now, when you look at all the women, even in ad sales and all the heads of ad sales now, there's a lot, you know, mostly women. And when I first started the business, it was all men. So, you know, there's definitely a change, which I love. But, you know, earlier in my career, it was definitely, you know, different landscape. So I did have to fight a little harder. Now, Now I what was important to me along the way, even with this opportunity, is that I wanted to have a seat at the table and I wanted to have a voice. And I thrive at helping build culture. And I wanted to make sure that I could help in helping assist that, because culture to me is everything within an organization. And I have that. I had it at some of my other jobs as well. I tend to be the person that helps create the culture within the organizations. That's just my personality and what I like to do. So I think that, like, not everybody does that. I mean, not everybody takes that as a priority. And that is one of my priorities in any organization that I've ever worked with.
Bravo. I'd like to acknowledge that Univision has been in the news of late. I don't expect you to address anything related to that in this forum specifically, but what it makes me think about is we all, as MarCom professionals, have to navigate situations that can bring out polarizing perspectives, put us in the hot seat, perhaps make us have to answer questions that we may or may not be comfortable. Do you have any lessons that you've learned along the way about how you manage challenging conversations with your colleagues or your team or your advertisers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of was what I said before, is like, stay true to your vision and your mission. But one of the things that I think is really important in approaching any conversation is to be transparent and honest. Your reputation is everything you have. I've always stayed true to myself. I've always been transparent and open, like you said, win-win, being fair, and honesty. And so, when these situations arise, you have to come on to them head on, have these conversations, but, be open and honest on what's actually happening. And I think if you can do that, it serves you well. And it serves you well. I think that's it in life as well. But in these situations, I think it's the same.
Yeah, it builds incredible trust. And in my experience, enables you, when you are open and transparent and authentic about what's going on and truthful, even when things are fantastic and tootling along smoothly, we know that it doesn't always work like that, especially in this business. And there will always be moments. And then if you've led with that approach, then when you get to those moments, then it becomes easy.
It does. And I'll tell you, sometimes sometimes on our side, we need favors too. Or something's happening, or when you can call people that, that feel that you're there for them on certain instances, then, it's a two-way street. And, I've just seen that along, many years in the business, that you also will always find out who your true friends are in times of challenges.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And in that regard, are there folks that you turn to that you have? I know many women that I know have sort of a few women on speed dial, although speed dial is probably more like a text thread now, right? They're going to be your go-to posse. Have you developed those relationships over the years, and what kind of comfort do they? I'm going to assume you probably have. And what kind of comfort do they give you when things may be a little tough?
I do. I will tell you, my biggest sounding board really is my family. My husband has been there for me every step of the way. Especially, as a working woman raising two kids, it was not easy when I was doing it, as it is now. And I still don't think it's easy, but there's a little bit more openness of work-life balance than ever it was when I started. He is my rock. He would pull me in if he thought I was you know, not home as much or doing too many dinners, but you know, also would tell me if he thought I was wrong. So, you know, my family has always been my rock. And now my kids, my daughter's 26, my son's 30. It's crazy. But they've watched me, you know, kind of grow up with my career, and now they're career oriented, and you know, watching your daughter now go through everything that you're going through, it's really incredible. But I do have a lot of women friends. It's funny because I was a career woman, I tended to have a lot of friends that were more career oriented. You know, I, you know, raised my kids up in Long Island, and there were a lot of women that didn't work, and it was tough to relate to those women, vice versa. I wasn't just one-sided, so I tended to actually have friends that, you know, worked in the business, so lawyers and, you know, all different aspects. And so we would have our, you know, our unit that whenever one of us needed something, we knew that they would always be there for us. And I actually liked sometimes having women to go to that weren't within our ecosystem of the media business, because they could give me different outside perspective. I definitely have friends within the media business that I do call, but sometimes going outside of your, you know, of your perspective kind of gives you a little bit more insight that you might not have been thinking of. So it's been helpful. But yeah, it's been a great journey. I've been loving it. Listen, I went through some trials and tribulations a little over 3 years ago when I was at WarnerMedia. I was put part of you know, the consolidation when AT&T bought it. This is before the Discovery days. And I'll be honest, and I've said it out loud when it first happened, but you know, never thought I would get fired in my life. You know, I had just done an upfront. I just handed them $1 billion, and you know, 3 weeks later was part of this chaos. And I was like, wow. You know, at the time I didn't see it, but one, it was great learnings for friends and family to say, you know what, no one's invincible. It can happen to anybody. And you know, I kind of took a step back, and you know, I didn't work for a year and a half. My choice. I loved it. I mean, it was an amazing year and a half. I mean, I never, you know, I was working since I was 14, so I got to reflect, and I loved it. I mean, again, as it happens, when it's happening, you don't see it, but you just take a step back and start reflecting, and it was really a really great time of my life. And it actually led me to this. To Televisa Univision. Like, I wouldn't have been here if that didn't all happen. And everything has a reason. And, you know, when you look at that and then going through COVID and, you know, so many things in life have happened. And I feel every day so blessed between my family and my friends and my career that, you know, now I take everything a day at a time. And, you know, I love what I do, and I'm blessed to have it. And, you know, life keeps marching on.
And we have the ability to look at it differently and find the joy in different parts of it that maybe we didn't find when we were sort of 20 somethings. I don't know. It's a beautiful journey to be on. I can feel simpatico with a lot of what you've journeyed through as well, and gone through those difficult times and found the light on the other side, as you always do.
Yeah,
As
I mean,
you,
even with COVID, like even, you know, with COVID, I've looked at it, and you know, it was not, I mean, nobody wishes that upon any of us having the pandemic and everything that happened, but I really saw a lot of silver linings. I spent so much time with my older kids, which I never would have done. You know, I when they were younger, you know, wasn't home a lot. I now got to spend time. I was actually cooking and hanging out with them and spending family time and having family dinners at the age of, you know, 24 and 28. I wasn't doing that. You know, I got to do, I never would have had that chance to do that again. So, you know, you see all that. I am hopeful and really believe that senior management in organizations now realize that women can do both, that you can raise your children and have a career and have that life balance and be able to work from home and not have to choose, you know, that it's either career or family. And that to me came out a little bit of with COVID, because everybody got to see that you could do Zooming and be home and work and be able to go in 2 days or 3 days or hybrid models, which didn't exist before, right? I mean, I had women who did job sharing, which was great, but it still wasn't the same. You know, job sharing, you know, took a different path with women's careers. And most women who did job sharing, never, once their kids got older, didn't continue their path.
No.
They just kind of halted. So this to me gives everybody a little bit of everything. And I think men too. I don't think it's just women oriented. I don't think it's just women. I think if men want to go watch their kids play soccer, they can go watch their kids play soccer, and they don't have to, you know, they don't have to ask as much permission as they used to. And so to me, this, a lot of silver linings came out of what we went through for our children. And I'm happy for that.
Me too. I have one just last question for you, Donna.
Okay.
When you think about what lies ahead, we're heading into an election year, always a lot of money on the table, a lot of spending, a lot of excitement. What are you looking forward to in the year ahead?
Well, I'm hoping a lot of that spending goes to the Hispanic market. yes, the political year is very important to us. Obviously, a lot of spending, because we do have obviously local and national, you know, representation in both areas. So, you know, what I'm excited about is just to keep the mission going. You know, our transformation has been strong. Our momentum has been, you know, we've been on this really fast train, and the momentum is there. And it needs to continue. You know, I can guarantee you that we've been making such huge inroads with marketers that 24, I think, is going to be the year that the marketers really start leaning in. 23 was tough only because of, you know, the economy, but 24 to me is the year. We have a lot of case studies in every different area. We've been making some progress. I am leaning in more to pharma and financial. Mm-hmm. Those two categories are unfortunately underrepresented with the Hispanic market, and we have been pushing really hard. So 2024 is going to be our year specifically with those categories where we make our inroads.
That
would be my prediction.
I love that. And I'm such a proponent also of helping demystify the complex. And those are two categories that I think can be complex and not always easy to navigate. And it's an area that I think, I hope those organizations will welcome it and double down on it, because it's needed for this market. Donna, this has been such a lovely conversation, and it's been wonderful to listen to everything that you're doing and see myself in many ways kind of reflected in the journey that you've been on. And but kudos to you. I'm really going to be watching what's going on next year and rooting you on. Thank you so much for joining me for this lovely conversation.
Thank you for everything. Thanks for believing in me. You've been a huge supporter. So thank you, Georgia.
You've been listening to Women Heard, presented by New York Women in Communications. I'm your host, Julie Hockheiser Ilkovich. Thank you to our incredible producer, Liz Roberts, and the amazing team that works on this podcast: Chelsea Orcutt, Chrisanne Grise, Mandy Carr, Alex Fetter, who wrote our original theme music, and all of the wonderful volunteers on the podcast committee. A special thank you to Donna Jean Plant and everyone at New York Wiki who supports us. For more information about New York Women in Communications, including how to join and all about upcoming events, go to nywiki.org. That's nywici.org. And please take a moment to rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.